be with you.
With you.
Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It is a pleasure to see all of you today. Today we have one of the wonderful festivals in the church. Technically, November 1st is our celebration for All Saints Day. We usually transfer that to the closest Sunday. Today we have an opportunity to think about our family and friends that have died in the faith and that are already enjoying the reality of being in the very presence of God in the mansions of heaven. But even more so than that, God says all who cling to Him, all who trust in Him by grace through faith, are saints. And that's you. Thanks be to God. A couple of words on our worship service this morning. As we heard in our prelude, our opening hymn, For All the Saints, 677, we'll sing the first six verses and we'll pick up the last two at the end of our worship service. Following our opening hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3. That's on page 184 and following. Page 184 and following. Worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, You shower Your blessings down upon us day after day, week after week, year after year. Heavenly Father, as we receive Your blessings, oftentimes we take them for granted. Oftentimes we use and enjoy Your blessings, but give ourselves or false gods the credit. Heavenly Father, today, teach us what it is to be blessed by You each and every day. May those blessings bear fruit until the time when we join all the saints in heaven and see You face to face. Heavenly Father, bless us to that end as we gather, worship, and pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to make us saints. Amen. Amen. Hymn 677, we'll sing the first six verses. Please stand as the cross enters the church.
Thank you.
3, page 184 in your hymnal, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near in a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this then, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time I invite you to turn to the introit. As it's printed in our bulletin insert, we'll sing it together. We continue with the Kyrie.
Father of all,
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading for the Feast of All Saints is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual, printed on your insert.
These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways of Zion.
The epistle is from 1 John, chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, an Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. In the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins,
and I look for the resurrection of the dead
and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 676. Behold a host arrayed in white, number 676.
Thank you.
love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. In the early Christian church, they really knew how to celebrate. Their celebrations seem maybe a little odd or unique or perhaps even strange to our modern ears. One of the things that they really, really liked to celebrate was their birthday. Nothing odd or strange about that, right? But they didn't celebrate one birthday. They didn't celebrate two birthdays. They celebrated three birthdays. The first birthday is the same birthday that you and I celebrate, the day that we are physically born into this world. The second birthday, some of us remember, maybe even celebrate, the day that we are born again by water in the Word, born into the family of God through holy baptism, our baptism birthday. But it's this third birthday celebration that seems the strangest to us. But it was the one they looked forward to the most. The third birthday celebration for these early Christians was the day of their death. The day that they died and they left this veil of tears and went to be with their Lord and Savior, the mansion prepared for them since the beginning of time, forever and ever. Amen. And so each year on the anniversary of a family or a friend, a Christian's death, they would gather together and celebrate. In time, people said, well, maybe we should combine our celebrations. Let's even do it at church. That's how the celebration of All Saints Day, November 1st, came about. A celebration that we continue to this day. What are we celebrating today? Are we celebrating those who have died in the faith? Are we celebrating a victory of heaven over hell? Are we celebrating that heaven exists? God's Word teaches us that today, and every day, quite frankly, we are to celebrate the fact that God has called us to be His children. That God has marked us with His name. That He has called us to be holy. In other words, God calls you and all who cling to Him in faith a saint. I know that there are other churches that have a different definition of what a saint is, living some super holy life, maybe even performing some kind of a miracle. We're not talking about any of that stuff. The word holy, and we have it a lot in our church service, holy, sanctus, sanctuary, saint. One who is declared holy by God. That's you. That's me. That's all who bear the name of Christ. In our gospel reading for today, the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 1 to 12, our great pastor and teacher, Jesus, teaches us what it means. What it means that we are saints. What it means that God has called us, marked us, and declared us to be holy. Jesus opened His mouth. He taught His disciples, and He teaches us. And He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." to be poor in spirit. This is what God says a saint is. Poor in spirit. We don't want to be poor in anything, do we? We want to be rich. We want to have it all. God's word here is talking about that spirituality that we are all too quick to claim. It's very common, very popular. Wish I had a dollar for every time somebody told me, I'm not very religious. I'm just spiritual. God's word teaches us right here. God does not want your spirituality. He wants you to be poor in spirit, emptying ourselves of any pretenses of being able to stand before the throne of God on our own. To be poor in spirit, King David teaches us in Psalm 51. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Lost in the trespasses of our sins, spiritually dead. And not only spiritually dead, but spiritually enemies with God. To realize that our self-made, self-chosen, self-proclaimed spirituality is nonsense. The kingdom of God is for those saints who recognize their own sin and realize that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you are rich in things, if you are rich in pride, the kingdom of heaven, it's no big deal. Blessed. Blessed are those. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What happens when we're poor in spirit? Jesus teaches us again. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What do you mourn over? What do you mourn about? What grieves your heart? Husker football? Are you mourning? Stock market? Work conditions? The weather? These are the kind of things that bother us. They make us upset. We mourn over these things. God's word teaches us something different. See, it's not enough just to recognize that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When we realize our own sinfulness, when we realize that we are sinners, God's word drives us to our knees and we mourn over our sin. Do we mourn over our sin or do we celebrate it? Do we mourn over our sin or do we make excuses for it? Do we mourn over our sin or do we look at other people's sin and judge them so that we can feel good about ourselves? Saints, those who have been washed clean and declared holy in the waters of holy baptism acknowledge their sin and they are mournful over it. Their sin drives them to their knees. Their sin causes them to grieve because they realize that when they sin, they hurt not only themselves, they hurt not only those who are close to them, but first and foremost, their sin hurts and offends God. Blessed are the saints who know their sin and who mourn over it. God promises the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus our Lord. True comfort. No placebo. No fake good news. But a comfort that is won by the bloody death and glorious resurrection of Jesus. Jesus goes on. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. My friends, I don't know that I have ever in my life met someone who said, "Pastor, I would like to be more meek." That's not the way our world works, is it? No. If you want something in life, you better stand up for yourself and you better go get it. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? We know how the world works. God teaches us right here in these Beatitudes. The saints of God are blessed when they know their sin. The saints of God are blessed when they hurt and are mourning over their sin. The saints of God are blessed when they are humbled by their sin. The fruit of knowing and confessing our sins is a gentleness and a meekness that only God can provide. We're not talking here about letting people walk all over us. We're not talking here about becoming an extreme introvert and never speaking up. No. We're talking about a humility that flows from the Word of God that is created in us, where we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought. When we know our own sins and God's gift of meekness is ours, we are not so harsh and rash and judgmental to others because we know we're all sinners in the same boat. To be poor in spirit, to mourn over our sins, to be humble and meek under the Word of God leads us to, quite frankly, the most important of the Beatitudes. Verse 6, Matthew 5, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." What are you hungry for? What do you sincerely desire? What are you hungering and thirsting for in your life? Some people might call it, you know, their bucket list. That's what they're hungering and thirsting for. Some people are hungering and thirsting for early retirement. Some people are hungering and thirsting for something athletically. Maybe even the Saints to win the Super Bowl again. These are the kind of things we hunger and thirst for, right? God's Word teaches us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. My friends, all these other things that we hunger and thirst for, they will never satisfy us. They will never satisfy you. Think of all the national championships your favorite team has won. Are you satisfied? No, you want one more. Think of all the material blessings that God has blessed you with. Are you satisfied? Most of the time, no, I want a little bit more. All of these gifts from God, when they become the most important thing in our life, when we hunger and thirst for them, they will always, always, always let us down. There is only one thing. There is only one thing that will truly satisfy, and that is the righteousness that God gives us through His Son, through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, righteous, perfect, holy, comes for those who are unrighteous and unholy. The great exchange takes place at the cross, where our sin is laid on Jesus. And Jesus pays the penalty, pays the price in full. Jesus' righteousness becomes ours in the waters of holy baptism, where we are robed in the righteousness of Christ. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are ours. It's a gift. God pours this out to us. And what do? Well, sometimes we abuse this forgiveness by trying to pile up all the more sin. Sometimes we abuse this righteousness by simply taking it for granted. My friends, God calls us His saints. We know that we are at the same time both saint and sinner. God has declared us righteous by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The sin, that old Adam, still rages inside of us, and it is a battle. Satan convinces us that we are full of ourselves, full of our stuff, and that we do not need the righteousness of Christ anymore. God's Word teaches us that there is an insatiable hunger and thirst for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that only Christ can provide. That's why we come to church. Because we're hungry. Because we're thirsty. Not for coffee and donuts. We come to church because we are hungry and thirsty for the forgiveness of sins. We are hungry and thirsty for the good news of the gospel, no matter how miserable our life is going at the present time. We hunger and thirst for that which we cannot accomplish on our own. We hunger and thirst for that and that alone, which can truly satisfy and fill us up with the good news, with the waters of eternal life, with the bread of life, the forgiveness of sins. My friends, as we hunger and thirst for this righteousness, and we are satisfied in Christ, God's blessings to us will overflow into the entire world. Blessed are the merciful. God's mercy is ours, and we will be merciful to others. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We will sincerely desire the truth and the purity that God calls all of His children for. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We will strive to be at peace with those around us because the Prince of Peace has bled and died for us. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. My friends, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, if you sincerely desire what God has for blessings for His children, His saints, you will be persecuted. You'll stick out. You won't go along with the crowd. Your priorities will be different in life, in work, in school, in sports. People will mock you, make fun of you. This is a reality. My friends, count it a joy when you suffer because you are following Christ and His Word. Count it a joy when you suffer for the name of Jesus. Blessed are they, yes, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. My friends, today we remember many who have died in the faith and who are already seeing the joys, the mansion, the Lamb who was slain but is now alive. And we rejoice with them, and we have a foretaste of the feast to come with them in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. God desires for all people to be saved. God has washed you clean in the blood of the Lamb. You are blessed right here, right now, by the Word of God. May God keep us in His hands, in His family, hungering and thirsting for His righteousness until we see Him face to face. May that be our celebration today and always. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We continue now with the offertory, page 192. Please stand as you're able. Be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. You are blessed, truly saints, by the holy precious blood of Jesus. Thanks be to God. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Thank you.
This time we continue with the prayer of the church, page 193. Please stand. Encouraged by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us pray for God's people to endure to the day of Christ's coming and for the needs of all people as we approach that blessed day, responding, Lord, have mercy. For all of God's children who have been baptized into Christ Jesus and who rejoice in him by faith, for our remembrance of those who went before us with the sign of faith and now rest from their labors, and for those who do not yet know God's mercy in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor in spirit, who know their sin, grieve over their guilt, and seek the grace of forgiveness, and for those who mourn what sin and death have done to all people and to our broken world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who hunger for righteousness and seek to do that which is good and right and true, and for the good works that shine with Christ's light in this world of shadows and darkness, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the merciful, who show compassion and forgive as Christ has loved and forgiven us, for purity of heart, that we may seek the Lord and serve his holy purpose, and for those who seek peace through the blood of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the persecuted church throughout the world, for a bold witness in the face of rejection and threat, and for the martyrs who choose faithfulness rather than deny Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations and those who govern here and in every place, for the fruits of mercy, for an impartial system of justice, for the protection of the weak, the aged, and the unborn, and for the freedom to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick in their afflictions, for the aged and infirmed in their struggles, for the dying in their final days on earth, and for the grieving who are wounded by the loss of those that they love, especially for those in our own midst, including Jack, Ralph, John, Sharon, Barb, Deb, Ron, Gloria, Lisa, Phyllis, Juliana, Judy, Jerry, Karen, Austin, Gerald, and all others whom we name in our hearts. For those who mourn the loss of loved ones, including the family of Sherry Burton, who received Christian burial this past Friday, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the will to keep faith with the saints who have gone before us, for the wisdom as we contend for the faith against the enemies of God's word, for faithful preaching and teaching, and for all those who serve with us in the Lord's word and sacraments, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith and repentance to receive for our benefit the body and blood of Christ in this holy sacrament, for our unity of doctrine and life as God's people, and for the fruits of blessed communion to be displayed in the grace of holy living, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who rejoice in the great gifts that God gives, including the Eric family at the birth of a new daughter, Irene, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Remembering the saints whose lives and witness point us to Christ, and joining them in steadfast witness as we pass on the sacred deposit to those who will follow us, let us give thanks to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. O Almighty God, we give thanks that you have washed us in the blood of the Lamb, written our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, and made us a royal priesthood and heirs of eternal inheritance. Though we deserve none of your mercy and are unworthy of your saving grace, we pray that you hear our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom and with whom and through whom all honor, glory, and wisdom are yours. Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. This time we also remember those members of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church who have faithfully departed this world in the last year. In joyful expectation of the resurrection to life eternal, we remember now before the Lord our departed family and friends who have gone before us in the faith and all those who are in our hearts and in our minds on this day. Al Bach. Dr. Robert Hines. Scott Schlatter. Marlene McClellan. Loretta Rivland. Sherry Burton. Let us pray. Almighty God, we remember with thanksgiving those who loved and served you in your church on earth and who now rest from their labors. Keep us in fellowship with all your saints and bring us at last to the joy of your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
This time we continue with the service of the sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. In the communion of all your saints gathered into the one body of your Son, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us and, together with them, receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me."
In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
We sing.
Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For thine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn 677, verses 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8.
Thank you.
We'll be back in here, and we're running a little late, but we'll be back in here in 5-10 minutes or so for our Sunday school opening. Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes, activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. Big activity today after the 10:30 service is the college student luncheon. So free food, college students come and enjoy, and hopefully it doesn't taste like the cafeteria.
Pulled pork.
Pulled pork. There you go. All right, very good. We've got Veterans Day coming up, and on Friday of this week is the Celebration Hero program here at our school and preschool. Next Sunday after the 10:30 service is the Budgeting 101 workshop, and it's free, food is provided, and child care is also there. So that's next Sunday after the 10:30 service. Check out the news and notes for the details and more on that. Coffee and goodies for everybody, you're all invited. Two opportunities for Bible study. We'll continue our look at Romans chapter 5 in the fellowship hall. Summary of Christian Doctrine, room 109. What are we studying today, Pastor?
Fall into sin and its consequences for our life today. So.
Ouch. 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 Yeah. Okay.
Also, unrelated, on the information center now, there's little forms. If you have a prayer request or something you want us to know about as pastors or vicar, there's little forms there. You can fill out the information there and either stick it in the slot in the little basket that's there, and we'll try to check those every week so we know what's going on, or you can hand it right to us. But that helps us remember everything if it's written down, and so those forms are back there for that purpose. Feel free to fill them out and give them to us at any time.
That's a really nice way of saying, when you tell us something when you're walking out of church in line, we may or may not remember it unless it's written down. So that's to help us out, and so we don't let anybody fall through the cracks. There are sign-up sheets out on the table, and in a few weeks we'll have our Thanksgiving dinner that we always have the Thursday before Thanksgiving for the, what are we calling folks this year? 75 and older, golden age. All right, yeah. So you got to be careful what you call them. So, yeah, there you go. So if you can help out, if you want to help bring people here, help with the food, help with the setup, whatever, sign-up sheets are out there on the table. I think that's all. Have a great day and week and life, knowing that you are blessed by God in Jesus.